views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm pleased to say that now we have launched the conference, the 24th Annual Woman of Wisdom Conference, and just want to let people know about it. We have some very good early bird special offers, two early bird weekend packages that are available until December 7th, and these are at the lowest prices we've ever offered, and have lots of other specials that are good through December 31st. For instance, you can register for 2 3-hour workshops and receive one for free. That's a huge discount, and those are available through December 31st. So remember to check out the weekend packages and these specials. You just go to www.thewowconference.org and mark your calendars for February 11th through the 15th to come to Seattle. Well, today we're going to talk about libido and life vitality with Dr. Keisha Ewers. She is the founder of the medical field known as functional sexology. She has a doctorate in sexology and a board certification in functional medicine and Ayurvedic medicine. With her education as a psychotherapist and a medical provider, she understands that most illnesses have an emotional or spiritual root cause. And Dr. Keisha has a book in the works, Your Libido Story, and offers a functional sexology health coaching certification program. She offers libido cure webinars that empower women to cure the root causes of low libido, otherwise known as low energy. Keisha's going to do a workshop at Women of Wisdom. It's going to be Monday, February 15th in the morning. It's going to be on Your Libido Story, Reignite Your Life. And you can register for that at the wowconference.org website. So welcome, Keisha.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. It's such an honor, and I'm so excited to be at the conference.
Yeah, I was really pleased, too, that you could be there. I think it's an important topic. And first, I want you to tell us your story, why you went into this work of, well, first, functional medicine and also sexology.
All right. Well, so I'm 50 years old. And so about 20 years ago, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. And this is an inflammatory autoimmune disease, and it changes people's lives when they wind up getting it. And I sat down one day after I'd been to a specialist, a rheumatologist, and I'd been prescribed some pretty heavy-duty toxic medications, and I was sitting there with them going, am I really going to take this off? You know, the side effect profile is worse than what I'm feeling right now. And so I just sat and I meditated on this, and checked in with my higher self and my guides and just said, you know, what is going on right now with this? And then it came to me that the word autoimmune actually meant I was attacking myself. And so that led me to the next question, which I would love all listeners always to ask, if something's going wrong with your body, to just check in and say, why? And so I thought, why am I attacking myself? So that led me down a different path than taking the medications I'd prescribed. It led me to yoga. It led me to Ayurvedic medicine, as you noted. And that talks about how we're not all the same person. Ayurveda knew 10,000 years ago that we just are not all the same. And that requires different food, different exercise, different daily routine, different sleep regimens, everything. And so it was just this illuminating, revolutionary kind of way of thinking, because I'd been in Western medicine for so long, and we just don't think that way in Western medicine. And so that led me down this path. And in a year, within a year of diagnosis, I was cured of my rheumatoid arthritis. It's never reared its head again. I've been free of autoimmunity all this time. And then I came upon functional medicine several years later, which to me is Ayurvedic medicine in modern terminology and written in English instead of Sanskrit. And I became board certified in that, and I was really excited because functional medicine is all about getting into root cause, just like Ayurvedic medicine is. And then, you know, I'd opened a functional medicine practice about 10 years ago with Ayurveda and functional medicine being my specialties. And I thought, you know, I'm hearing the same stories from a lot of women, so many women coming in and saying, I don't have any sexual desire. It's gone to Tahiti. It's left me behind, you know, and what can I do? Can you give me hormones? And they, you know, the more well-read would say, can you give me bioidentical hormones? And so I would start asking questions, because I always ask the question, why? Like, why are the hormones off in the first place, instead of just saying, let's treat the hormones? And so when we would start to explore that together in my office, I would ask simple questions like, do you like your partner? And it was amazing how many times women would burst into tears when I would ask that question. And so I would sit and I would wait for the story to come out. And it became apparent that there's a story behind our energy level. There's a story behind all of it. And I realized that in the average 6-minute medical appointment that Western medicine and insurance companies are willing to pay for, you cannot listen to the stories of the people that you're treating. And so I started writing a book about this and put together a webinar program in an effort to really help women dive deeply into this, because it's more than just 6 to 15 minutes to be able to fix it.
Oh, so true. And that, yeah, and our stories are important. And those stories, like you say, they play into our physicality.
Right.
It's like the body listens to our mind.
Exactly. We feel the emotion and it gets lodged in the body. And anyone that really takes this back long enough can remember being a child and the first time you were anxious, or the first time that you felt betrayed, or the first time that you felt like you were inferior or not smart enough or not good enough. And actually, there'll be a place in your body where there's a remembering of that feeling. And so anytime in your adulthood that button gets pushed again, it comes up in the body first, and then it goes and it recycles the same neurobiological pathway in the brain as it did when you were very, very young. And so it's a really important process to understand that we actually created the meanings that we have in our lives when we were really young, and the people in front of us that get us triggered nowadays are just coming along and pushing buttons that we already wired. We put them together a long time ago.
So yeah, it's just repeating.
That's why I went back to exactly. That's why I went back to school to become a psychotherapist, and then my PhD is in sexology, as you said, because I really wanted to understand this hormonal connection to what I just talked about. And my dissertation and my research was about the impact that held onto hurt has on a woman's sexual desire. And one of the beautiful things in Ayurvedic medicine is that we don't think about desire as just sexual. We think about it as your whole life vitality, all of your energy. So if you're deficient in one part, like you don't have any libido, then look at other areas in your life and see if you're lacking some motivation or some vitality or some passion or some joy in other areas too. So libido becomes kind of like a little indicator light on your dashboard of your car, you know? So instead of if your gas tank is looking like it's getting close to empty, you don't just push down harder on the gas pedal and go faster and longer. You actually have to pay attention or you're going to be stuck on the side of the road. And so that's exactly how we need to be listening to our bodies, is the indicator lights. They're really important.
Yeah, the body just talked to us. So now you use the term functional sexology. Can we go into that a little bit more?
Yeah, so I combined this idea behind Ayurvedic medicine and functional medicine of getting down to the root cause. And in functional medicine, sexology is ignored largely. In fact, I'm at a medical conference in San Antonio, Texas right now, and the presenter is in there right this very moment talking about the thyroid brain immune system connection. And he's got all these slides that he's been putting up. And I listened to about an hour of the presentation, and libido is not mentioned once. And yet, it's one of the things that affects quality of life so powerfully that women report it as the very worst sexual dysfunction that they can have. And yet, we have no cure for it. And so I come to these medical conferences for functional medicine. And if libido is ever mentioned, it's off on a sidebar as a comorbidity, we call it, or a side effect is something that we're talking about that's the main focus. I've never once been to one of these conferences where the slide has low libido in the middle, and what are some of the comorbidities that go with that? And I thought, my goodness, the women in my practice are talking about this as a real thing. I've experienced it myself, and no one's really addressing it head on because we don't have a treatment for it, so that's the problem. And there are treatments for it, but in our Western way of thinking about things, we haven't developed one. And so when I really thought about this carefully with a lot of, you know, emotion and passion behind it, listening to my patients, I thought, you know what, we need a different medical domain, a way of really understanding this. And so I put together sexology, Ayurveda, and functional medicine and said, this is functional sexology. This is getting down to the root cause for women that have problems with arousal and desire and orgasms and the things that are not being talked about in medical offices. So it's pretty dismal. 75% of medical providers do not ask about sex drive or sexual health. And of the 35% of the 25% that do, it's only about STDs, you know, sexually transmitted diseases. And the other percentage is about contraception. Mm-hmm. Not really about like your satisfaction, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more about that. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back and talk more with Dr. Keisha Ewers.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
What does it mean to be healthy? For each of us, it means something a little different. Discover the art of herbal medicine, a natural way to help our bodies respond better to the modern-day stress and toxicity of our everyday lives. Using organic herbs from around the world, the skilled herbalists at Urban Wellness in Kirkland can help you choose the herbs that are right for your body. Find your herbal solutions for common health issues at urbanwellness.com. That's H-E-R-B-A-N wellness.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Enlightening, humorous, and compassionate. Listen live to The Kelly Ballard Show, insight and inspiration from the great beyond. Kelly is a fourth-generation medium and intuitive who covers topics ranging from grief, spirit guides, and listening to your intuition. Kelly can help you get answers and guidance from the other side with a little bit of humor and a lot of healing. Tune in to The Kelly Ballard Show Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Dr. Keisha Ewers, a sexologist. She works in functional sexology. And so, hey, Keisha, can you give your website address where people can find out more about you?
Yes, it is functionalsexology.com.
Okay, great. I'm sure there's going to be some interest there. You know, I mean, it's a big topic. And like you say, you know, people don't talk about this. And it's hard for women to even bring it up to the doctors. And then if you get a response that's like, oh, well, you know, where do we go with it?
Well, I'll tell you what the number one, there are three things that are primarily prescribed when women do find the courage to bring it up. And it's only 10% of women that have low libido that will actually bring it up in doctor's appointments. So when they do, these are the three top things that are prescribed. One is lubricants, which is just ridiculous because what is a lubricant for? It's if you have vaginal dryness, right? And they're not saying I have vaginal dryness. They're saying I have low libido. So my desire is not even there to get that far. You know, and so that's so silly. And then the second thing is, well, let's take a look at your hormones, which is totally valid and very good. There are a lot of women that will, you know, hormones will change their lives for their libido. But it's not looking at what caused those hormones to go out of whack in the first place. And there are a lot of nasty, nasty side effects that can occur as a result of ongoing hormone replacement therapy. So we want to look at, well, what's the root cause? And can we just give you hormones, bioidentical hormones, for a little while and then get your body to do what it's supposed to be doing already? I call this patching the bottom of the hole in the bottom of your boat. You want to do that. And then the third one that's given out are antidepressants. Because, of course, women feel, many times I hear this in my office, they feel broken, they feel depressed, they feel like they have lost a big part of the joy of their lives and their relationships, because the number one cause of low libido for a woman is actually relationship distress and conflict. And this actually can cause it, too. So it's kind of like a vicious cycle. Well, what is the number one side effect of serotonin reuptake inhibitor antidepressants like Prozac or Paxil or any of the ones, Lexapro, is low libido. So we're actually giving an antidepressant that causes low libido to a woman with low libido, hoping to just mask that she's not depressed about having low libido. So none of it made any sense to me, which is why I went back to school and did my doctorate in this with a specialty and an emphasis on hormones, because I just really wanted to understand what was going on for all these women in my office. So it's a really interesting paradox that can occur when women finally do go try to seek help.
Yeah, so you're saying, I mean, even bioidentical hormones, which they say are better than the chemical hormones, but still only take for a little while. What do you prescribe for people to do?
Well, I will prescribe progesterone or a non-cancer-causing estrogen compound if they need it, or some testosterone if they need it, or give DHEA or pregnenolone. But ultimately, what I'm looking at, there are five root causes to low libido. And one of them is physical, which we've been talking about this whole time. The other, one of the others is emotional. And I was mentioning that in the earlier part of the show, where if you've got a lot of hurt from the past, this can fall into the category of trauma, but it can also just daily stress. It can be emotional. Mental, women with negative body images, or who have, there are all kinds of cognitive beliefs that can cause low libido. And then another one is the libido story that I was mentioning, where along their development from childhood into adulthood, we can form what's called a libido map. And actually, this is the work we're going to be doing at the workshop in Seattle in February. With my workshop, I have a workbook that goes through how to do this. It's just fascinating to really understand your own relationship with your sexuality, and it'll take you through that process. And then the last one is spiritual. So many cultural beliefs and religious beliefs can get in the way of a woman feeling fully sensual, fully in herself as the divine goddess, you know, and being able to express herself in all ways. And one of those ways is sexual. So there are a lot of cultural stories that get in the way. You can pick up a Cosmo magazine, Cosmopolitan, for example, and look on the cover any month, you know, any month, and you're going to see airbrushed models. Well, of course women have terrible body image, you know, and so we have a lot of different cultural myths and a lot of cultural stories that get in the way of being a fully actualized woman, reaching all of your optimal health, and one of those is in your sexuality. So it's a big exploration.
Oh, it is. So I love it that you're going to be doing this at the conference, but, you know, to look at all those areas in your life and to be with somebody to guide you on that path too, because it's hard sometimes to do this by yourself and it's difficult to bring it up to people. And so, right. You know, people like yourself who are trained in this and have that comprehension to be, you know, gentle and wise at the same time and you know, have compassion for these elements that we all deal with these things.
Right. And that's exactly right.
Yeah. So this impact for a low libido on a woman's life, how does that impact in other areas? It's not just sex.
Right. As I was talking about earlier, when I go to medical conferences, you know, low libido will sometimes be mentioned as a side effect of hypertension or high blood pressure, or it's a side effect of having an autoimmune disease, or it's a side effect of arthritis or diabetes or cancer or medication or surgery. It's one of the things that goes away often because the way I describe this is if you are a zebra being chased by a lion and you're in survival mode, it's actually not safe to stop and have babies right then, right? The lion's going to eat you. You can't stop. And so it's also not safe to stop and go to the bathroom. So what your body does when it gets the messages from the brain that we're under stress, you know, we're under attack, and this can happen from a whole variety of reasons, like skipping meals or drinking too much coffee or having some sort of illness or having some kind of very big stress in your life, your body gets this message, oh my goodness, we are not okay right now. Run, go to safety. And so our vision kind of narrows down, so we're not seeing the whole horizon anymore. We're seeing just this little tiny dot on the horizon that signifies safety. We're not noticing the flowers blooming, the temperature of the air, the way the grass feels when we're running, you know. So all those things go away, so we take in information differently, we remember it differently, and our body's hormones go sideways. It goes straight into, okay, we need to fight or we need to flee. And so, like I said, if you're in that space chronically, even acutely, you're not going to have the hormones being released that your body says, oh, it's okay to have sexual desire and to engage intimately with my partner. So that's one of the things that is really important that I think is happening as a cultural-wide thing right now with the socioeconomic state that we're in, with a lot of stuff we see on the news day in and day out. And so a lot of our self-care time and our time that we spend to get ourselves into what we call the rest and digest nervous system, it's not happening very often anymore. So that's a lot of what I teach in these workshops and things like that, is how to get your brain to shift out of running like mad to get to safety.
Yeah, and we're all in overwhelm. I mean, you know, I don't know anybody who isn't, and the stress in our lives. And yeah, when do we take time to just sit and be quiet? And so I imagine you talk to people about doing meditation or getting out there and exercise and walking or being out in nature, things like that. What do you advise people to do?
So I do a webinar program that's 7 weeks long, and each one of the weeks is actually aligned with one of the chakras. So we go through each of the 7 primary chakras and work with first the root and then the second chakra and sensuality and body image. And then we just go on up. And in each of those weeks, I give different self-care activities for people to start implementing and putting into their lives. And then they walk away with this really nice kind of user's manual that we all wish we had been born with, you know, that we didn't have, and we're having to discover it on our own. So a lot of practices. And some people say, you know, I can't meditate. I hear that a lot. Well, I have a lot of guest presenters on my webinar program, and one of them is a meditation master, and he's done a guided meditation recording for me that I put in there for people to be able to access, which is a chakra meditation. I have several bonus things that go with that that are all experts in different methods for being able to really get into that parasympathetic nervous system. This is my way of trying to figure out how can I help women, like I said, in more than a 15-minute period in my office, where they can do this on their own at home. They can access it on their computers. So my next one is actually the free libido story intro into the seven-week program. The seven-week program is $197, and then there's a free one that introduces it, that it's launching on December 1st again. So that's on that functionalsexology.com. You can find that.
Oh, great. Yeah. Yeah, and it's great. Even I know in the free webinar, you probably give lots of information out too. It's important work. We sort of ignore it because sometimes other things seem to be more important. You know, survival, like you say, the flight or fight, we've got to earn money. You know, we've got to have house and food and clothing, and money seems to be, you know, a huge driving force that we focus so much on that, we don't take care of our bodies.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we're told when we pick up a book that money isn't everything and this isn't, you know, what you should be focusing your life on. But Maslow's hierarchy of needs says that if your food, you know, your shelter, those needs are not met, then it's harder to get into those upper echelon places of self-actualization. And so we have to meet those needs. And how do you meet them and keep yourself healthy and out of that fight or flight space? And it is possible. I'm definitely a poster child for that. I have a lot going on in my life. And I do make sure that I do my self-care activities, or else, you know, once you've had autoimmune disease, you have a 75% risk of collecting another one to you. So
yeah, that's so important. Take care of yourself. Well, this is Christina. Thanks for listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more with Dr. Keisha Ewers.
Got attitude? Keys to the rescue. Adjust your attitude with Keys Clear Protein Waters. So refreshing. Just a few sips of Keys will give you a whole new outlook, thanks to 22 grams of the happiest protein on earth. Tongue-tingling tasty without the guilt of naughty or nasty ingredients. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, maybe you need to drink too. Put a little woohoo in your attitude with Keys Protein Water. On Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm talking with Keisha Ewers on the work that she does in functional sexology. So
She mentioned in the last segment that her website is functionalsexology.com, and she has a webinar coming up. What's the date, Keisha?
December 1st is the Libido Story free webinar, and that's to lead into a 7-week process called the Libido Cure that is really an in-depth exploration. Women that come out of that webinar series just have so many amazing things to say about how it transformed their lives, because it's looking at more than just your libido, because like I had said earlier in the show, your libido is just a marker for all kinds of things in your life.
That's true. Well, we were talking about some of the things that impact the root causes, and one of the things you mentioned was body image, and I know it's a huge thing for women. I don't think we sort of try to deny it because, oh, we're not supposed to be focused on the physical, and yet the media and everything we see are these, you know, slim, skinny bodies. Young people, youth is so emphasized that we don't value then, like, women, you know, elder women and the beauty of elder women and having the variety of body images, body shapes, or, you know, just honoring the physical form in all shapes.
That's right. And this is something that I get very sad about. And when I turn again to Ayurvedic medicine for is this understanding from, again, this 10,000-year-old system of medicine that's the sister science of yoga from India that says we are not all the same. And there are three different body types, according to Ayurveda. They're called your doshas. And each person, just like you have your own fingerprint, each person has their own dosha combination that's their unique at-birth combination. And the three dosha types are Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. And Vata is considered, you know, the kind of skinny mini, can be very tall or very short, tends to, when they get imbalanced, have a little bit of ADD type of lack of memory, concentration, focus. They're super social, kind of a social butterfly. Their imbalances can be ringing in the ears, constipation, asthma types of things. Anything that has a hollow area in your body can be affected by a Vata imbalance. And so one of the things that people don't understand is that everyone doesn't look like the Vata. You know, there's the Pitta, that's the other body type, and this person is more of a medium build, and they can have reddish undertones to their skin, freckles even sometimes, moles on their skin. They tend to have kind of medium hair in terms of thickness and luster, where the Vata people will have thinner. And then their imbalances will run toward inflammation. They tend to be really, really, really smart people. Pitta people do. They have very quick intellect, which makes them a little impatient in the world because they pick things up really quickly. And if others around them don't, they can get frustrated and annoyed. They're very self-critical, which can leak out onto other people as critical and judgmental sometimes. And then the Kapha body type is more of what I call the cookie baking mom. You know, they're loyal, they're grounded, they're very usually quite gentle. They have bigger bones. They're usually heavier. Their blood sugar can become imbalanced very easily with too many carbohydrates, and their imbalances will be weight, diabetes, anything that has extra fluid attached to it, holding on to too much fluid, boils and cysts and things like that, fibroids. A lot of this stuff is all can be a Kapha imbalance. And nobody is one of those body types. We all have our own mixture of where we were at birth. And the idea is that we keep balanced according to that birth constitution. And the things that can throw us out of balance are the way we think, what we eat, how we sleep, the climate outside, the season we're in, the age that we're in. As we get older, we move towards Vata, time of life. So there are all these things that will affect our constitution and our balance. And what Ayurveda teaches us is how to stay in balance. So when I teach body image stuff, I help people understand what their body type is. And so that they can learn how to accept that this is the body I was born with. I'm not meant to look like an airbrushed model if that's not my body type. And we start there. I just got back. I take groups to Africa every year, and I take groups to Peru. And this last October when I was in Africa, I had this group of women that we did a body image exercise with, and we were in an area that had a really beautiful natural hot springs that was completely private, no one else for miles and miles away. And so I had them get in it, and all of us were in there naked together, and I had them each name five things that they loved about their body. Chris, you would be shocked at how often it takes people forever to think about something they love about their body. Mm-hmm. They will have a whole list of things they don't love about their body. And when I ask them to stick to the things they love about their body and I allow them one thing that they don't like about their body, then it takes some time for a lot of people. You know, like they have to really sit and rack their brains. So this is a process that happens from childhood, you know, as you compare yourself to other people, as you compare yourself to the cultural so-called norm or to the buses that are going by you as you're driving or the billboards or the magazines or the television and movies that you're seeing. This is all you comparing yourself to that. And so what I do is I give a lot of exercises and some different things that help you bring yourself into acceptance and even love and appreciation of this body. Because let me tell you, before I was doing this kind of medicine, I was in intense care for years. And I did like major heavy duty life flight, rescue people in helicopters, heart transplant stuff. Like that was my world. And I just can't even express the gratitude and appreciation that so many people that I treated in the ICU had after they left the ICU for their bodies. Because they saw how close they were to losing mobility, the ability to be able to talk or walk again or think again. And some never did get that back. So, you know, it can be taken in just a second. And I think all my time in the ICU has developed this deep appreciation that I have for that. Like, I love my feet. They carry me around. I love my legs. They support me. I love my hips, you know, and mm-hmm. It's just kind of going through that, because any moment that can be gone, and then you start lamenting and appreciating what you used to have, and why not be in the moment and appreciate it now, right?
Yeah. Well, that brings me to, you know, I want to talk a little bit about age, you know, because as we age, our bodies change and we tend to like them less because, oh, I don't have the body I had as a 20 or 30 year old, can't do the same things the same way. And so, mm-hmm. you know, what do we do about that?
Well, this is something that I'd like to give some gratitude and appreciation to you for, Chris, because here you do this amazing conference called Women of Wisdom. And this is, I was in my 30s and confronted with this autoimmune thing, and then I got breast cancer too. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I don't have any wise women mentors in my life. I have four children. And I'm moving through these stages of life, and I'm not sure what to expect next, and I don't know if I'm doing it right. And I'm not sure if this is something that's normal, and, you know, all those kinds of things. And we're a little bit isolated in our world where we really don't have that mentorship. And so our kids come of age without a tribe that says, here's the next thing that you do, here's your initiation into this step stage of life. And so one of the things that I write about and I teach about is really looking at the stage of life you're in and loving it and appreciating it. If you are, like, I turned 50 and I was so excited. I don't know. I just love getting older, because when I look back at when I was 20, I think, oh my gosh, I was so unaware. I just didn't know anything. And it's not knowing as in knowledge, but knowing as in wisdom. And then I looked at 30 and I look back at that and I think, oh my goodness, 20 years, this has been some wisdom gaining that's happened. And so, you know, a lot of what I work with in some of these seminars and workshops and book I'm writing is all about really learning to appreciate the stage of life you're in And there was a woman that was over 60 in the pool in the hot springs in Africa that I was just telling you about, that exercise we did. And she, we had a young woman who was in her 20s from Germany that was there, and she was the one that didn't want to get in. We had to really coax her in. And this woman who was in her 60s, after everyone was in and we were doing this, what I love about my body and everything, she looked straight at her and she said, you know, and she started crying. And she said, what I would give to have youthful skin and breasts that held up again and were perky like yours, and hair that was so beautiful, and I didn't have to think about, you know, the changing color of it, and a face that wasn't full of crow's feet and wrinkles. And she said, I miss that so much. And she was crying. And this, this young woman in her 20s just said, wow, you know, what an amazing gift you've just given me. To really appreciate that right now.
And I have to interrupt you because we have to take another break. So sorry.
All right.
We'll come right back, talk more with Keisha Ewers.
Broken from your relationships? Are you second-guessing yourself about friends, family, and lovers? Tune in to the hit show that's creating a buzz in the love-seeking community, Love Seeker Radio, finding love for your authentic self with renowned love coach Heather Lynn. Tired of dissatisfying relationships? Kiss them goodbye and power up your love seeker energy. Coach Heather Lynn reminds you that you can just be you, the beautiful and perfect you. Visit heatherlynncoaching.com to learn more.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Artie Hoffman is the hottest psychic with the warmest heart and the host of the hit show Angels and Answers. A renowned psychic, medium, spiritual life coach, and an entertaining motivational speaker, Artie has helped over 15,000 people with his amazing intuitive gifts, his passion, and his humor. Call 877-ANGEL-02 to schedule a personal reading or to have your own psychic Artie party. That's 877-ANGEL-02. And visit ArtieHoffman.com and Angels and Answers on Facebook.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm speaking with Dr. Keisha Ewers, who is an expert on functional sexology. So, Keisha, you were telling a story about, you know, the older woman and the younger woman, and you know, younger woman not appreciating her body and being having that gift of an older person say, you know, they'd give anything to have it. But there's this thing of just valuing you know, valuing where you are is what you were saying, you know, that the older person right. value those wrinkles and where they're at. And I'm at that stage and I'm just starting to, for the first time, because I was with a bunch of young people at the Bioneers conference, and I'm not comparing myself anymore, but I almost, I was calling myself an elder for the first time because I was the elder of the planning group. You know, and it's kind of interesting, like, wow, I'm 66 and now I'm calling myself an elder. I don't feel like an elder.
Well, you should, because part of what the word elder means is teacher. And the elder of the tribe is the wisdom keeper of the tribe. And so when I turned 50, I realized I'm an elder now and I'm going to take that responsibility seriously. And I'm going to make sure that I mentor anyone that comes to me and asks me, nurse practitioner students that write to me, anyone and everyone that says, can I come and learn from you? I say yes, because I have so many amazing mentors myself. And it's like I've stepped into that place now where I have this cumulative wisdom that I want to share.
Yes, and we do need the mentorship. And I'm very aware of the relationship I feel being attracted to millennials and 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds and people, the baby boomers. There's a real connection there. And I think it's that need for mentorship. We have had the experience, the wisdom. They have the young energy that, you know, so together, you know, I think it's going to, we're going to be working together to change a lot of the issues we're facing in our world. Well, I want to do in our last bit of time here, I want you to talk about cultural myths around all this that we've been talking
well,
about.
Well, this segues right into it, because there's a myth that you're supposed to be having sex a certain number of times a month or a week or a day. And normal, you know, I get asked that, what's the normal amount of time, frequency for sex? And I always say, that's just a setting on your washing machine. My partner and I, my husband and I have sex twice a day. That's just the way we are. We're tantra teachers. We just do that. Some people, once a month is great. As long as your intimacy that you share in your relationship is satisfying to you both. If it's not, and there's some intimacy issues and some arguments around mismatch and desire, there's some things that we can do about that. And that's part of what I teach, is how to get past that, how to have those conversations, how to negotiate that. And both of you feel like you have your needs met. There's a cultural myth that says, well, if he loves me, then he should know what to do to turn me on. That is so untrue, you know, or if he loves me, that he would automatically X, Y, or Z, fill in the blank. Or if we're in love, then we're just, everything's going to work well sexually. I don't know. Chris, did you have babies?
No, I don't.
So one of the things that I discovered when I have four children and with my first one is I had a hard time breastfeeding, and I thought, isn't this supposed to be natural? And so anything like that, you know, where you go, well, we have this myth that it's just natural and so it'll be automatic. Well, good sex is about good communication, and that's not natural. You have to work at it. And so that's another myth, is that good sex just happens with, you know, practicing the physicality of it. But no, it's actually about good communication, and great sex is about great communication. So part of what I teach in my workshops is communication methods and things like that, to be able to really have great intimacy. And sex isn't about intercourse. That's another myth. It's about all the other parts of intimacy too. So there are all kinds of myths that kind of mess people up.
Oh, that's so true. So what last bit of advice would you give to people then to approach these issues that we face? Because we all have to face something around this. It's
yes. Well, I would say to our listeners to really, really learn to accept yourself for where you are, your age, your stage of life, your body type, all of those pieces that we tend to resist. Whatever you resist persists and causes suffering. So just don't resist where you're at. Embrace it, surrender it, and move into it, and be all of who you are. And really, you know, people that are super overweight, that, like Queen Latifah, right? She wears it, and she's just powerful, and she's beautiful, and no one looks at her and says, oh, poor woman, she's so overweight. No, you don't say poor Queen Latifah, right? Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is you want to be where you're at and be your full self and just accept and love yourself. And then libido follows.
Yes. And it's, it's a very holistic approach of it's connected to everything. I mean, you said, you know, it's body image, it's our mental, physical, our stories, you know, I think it's great to, you're going to be mapping out our libido story, and find those connections to understand our relationship with our sexuality. And it's, you know, getting down to those core issues. And a lot of times we don't want to face them because it's scary too.
Yes, that's exactly right. And I'm just always so inspired when people take this on and really dive into it, because eventually it's fun. But having the courage to take it on to begin with, if you have low libido, you've got a block in one of those five places. And when you're willing to go in and search where the block is, it takes some courage to do that. But once you're in it, it gets kind of exciting because you start feeling yourself turning on, literally, very passionately, very joyfully. You know, we always think of being turned on as a sexual thing, but like I said, that's everything.
Yes, and I just had a thought about that, and which went in and out of my mind. But it is. I know what it was. It's also the shame that we deal with. You know, there's so much in our culture around shame around sex and our bodies and all that impacts us.
Right. Good girls don't. Sex is dirty. We're told in a lot of religions to wait until you get married, and then you're supposed to be able to just see completely the sex kitten in the bedroom, and when you've been suppressing it for all these years. And I don't go against any of those things. What I do is help you then make friends with it so that you can get out of that space of shame and guilt do not belong in the bedroom. So, you know, moving those out of your system is really important.
Oh, such good advice. So thank you, Keisha, for being on the show today.
Well, it's been my pleasure. And my last little tidbit is what's in your head goes to your bed. So join me for the workshop in February.
Yes. Yeah. So Keisha will be at the Woman Wisdom Conference on Monday, February 15th. And so I invite you to go register for her workshop. If you register for 2 half-day workshops, you get one for free, and that's through December 31st. And this weekend package we've got is at the lowest price we've ever offered. There's 2 different ones, one Thursday night through Monday and one Friday night through Monday. And we just do that because some people have to work on Friday. And those prices are only available through December 7th. And like I said, it is a really good special price. So check it out at www.thewowconference.org. And also just to note that we have applications available for if you're an intuitive reader or a healer, energy healer, tarot reader, all those different things. We have a temple, we call a temple at the conference, and applications to be a part of that. The deadline is November 20th, and you can also find that on the website, thewowconference.org. So I would love for you to check out my book. It's an Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Woman. It's an inspirational book based on all the different stories and women, our mentors that have been there, some of the great talks we've had at the conference, women's stories, poetry, art. It's a full exploration of the divine feminine. And you can check that out on our website, our foundation website, which is womanofwisdom.org. When you purchase the book there, it benefits Woman of Wisdom. So thanks so much for listening today. And next week, we'll be interviewing some more people from the Woman of Wisdom Conference. And Tuesday at 10 o'clock on KKNW, on the Dr. Pat Show, I will be interviewing Mira Kelly. She's doing a 2-day intensive workshop at the conference. It's a pre-conference event on February 10th and 11th on Beyond Past Lives and about healing from that perspective. So I really hope to see you at Woman of Wisdom in February. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.